settle down. I'm not in the mood for your crap.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling right along. It's hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Thursday. Tomorrow, NFEF Friday, Barry.
Yeah, joining us today, though. I'll have a comedian for tomorrow.
All right.
But 2:30, Lance Erline is going to join us.
He will crawl out of the cave.
He will, yes.
He will.
Even though we don't have any food.
He will rummage through the open cubicles and areas to find out if anybody left any scraps and food. And then he will saunter in midway through the segment.
Saunter?
Yes.
He's a saunterer.
He kind of is.
It's kind of a big word for me. Saunter.
Sorry.
Is it?
Yeah. Saunter. Spell it.
What am I? First of all, I need you to use it. I used it in a sentence.
Fail.
Saunter, I would say S-A-U-N-T-E-R.
You're correct.
Boom. Mm. Suck it.
Nice. Ooh, you got to suck it.
Yep.
All right, let's get some texts out of the way. I work for AT&T. We bought DirecTV. Just request an AT&T employee and not a contractor. There you go. You don't have to lose your recorded stuff, Joel. I used to work for Dish. Same stuff, different name. Get you a 1 terabyte external hard drive and download all the saved material to the hard drive. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck getting Joel to plug in a hard drive and do it. Sean in Pearland said, get the NFL Game Pass, and then you can switch. You don't have to worry about it. Barry can't be a black Jewish guy because only white people eat cheese nips. Okay. You were ready for that.
Yeah, I saw that text. I like that. That was a fantastic text.
I feel like you were ready to go.
I've been telling people I'm not looking at the text line, but I'm absolutely lying.
I see you in there, Pete.
I'm absolutely lying.
Joel's DirecTV talk equals Barry's lawn talk. Mark Schell.
Nope. Mark, go back to wherever you were for the last couple months.
That would be incorrect, sir.
Joel's talk about DirecTV more than Barry. Joel talks about DirecTV more than Barry talks about lawns.
False.
Speaking of lawns, keep up the good advice, Barry.
You tell That's your family happening. To stop tweeting, texting the show.
Just tuning in, but have you guys tried the triple loaded curly fries from Jack in the Box? That's Amazon Bee's brother. No, I have not.
No, I have not either.
I've heard they're delicious.
I have not.
At some point, I'm sure I will get drunk enough to try them.
Exactly.
Or be on the road.
There you go. Although, not after January 1.
Why?
New diet?
Daddy's got to lose some weight.
Maybe we should put together some kind of a program to help you.
I don't know. If only there was something we could do.
Maybe challenge you in some way to be motivated.
Challenge me to lose weight?
Yeah.
What a good idea.
Nick, 2 and 2 together?
He looks lost.
I lost a lot.
No, I'm talking about 2 and 2 together is a math problem. It's 4. But we can put 2 and 2 together and figure out what we're talking about.
I can't believe you missed that. Yeah. More text. Lawn talk over cable any day of the week.
Nope.
My Lord, is that segment over already? Both of you can suck it, and Joel gets an extra suck it.
Well, 281, go to hell.
Cheese, more like cheese int bowl, INT, interception, instead of cheese it.
I should have said that.
I did like that. That's a good joke. It's a visual joke. It doesn't work when you go cheese int.
Let's try it on the radio then.
Oh, that's a good
How'd
point.
That go over? Like,
He did say great day of football.
Again, double.
I hope Joel loses every way back Wednesday from now on. Sincerely, Stephanie.
Why?
It must have something you said.
Well, we're not doing a Twitter poll anymore. It doesn't matter.
Nick has bots.
I'm not sure why, Stephanie. You'll have to clarify why.
Text me and why.
Why the hate for Joel? Okay, here's a serious sports question.
Okay.
I know it's early. Watson is bringing a lot of excitement to the city.
Yeah.
What directions do y'all think the Texans will go this offseason? Sign a cornerback, sign a running back, and build the line in the draft? If I'm not mistaken, there's no left tackle that will be available this free agency. What area of focus do you suspect that they will...
I mean, it goes without saying offensive line has to be a focus. But offensive linemen, unless they're really, really super good, and even still, they're based on potential. They can fail in the first round. So they'll have plenty of time for that. Obviously, with Demaryius Thomas' situation and the fact that Kuti hasn't been able to stay healthy and they can't find someone to really be a stud on the opposite side of D-Hop, I would think that wide receiver and running back, they're going to look at both those things. Because Miller, you may just let him go. Just let him walk. $7 million a year and a guy that just has never kind of lived up to billing with the exception of his first year. I would say running back and wide receiver after offensive line.
I'm with you. Well, hold on. I'm with you on the offensive line part.
Yeah.
I still think if you've got Lamar Miller for at least one more year, right?
Yay.
Not the greatest in the world, but you know what? For most of the year, he was a top six rusher yardage-wise. They haven't been able to run the ball for a squat the last couple of weeks, but for the most part, they've been pretty good. But he's not elite. I mean, he's just not an elite back. So I do think you solve some of that if you solve the offensive line, though. If you've got guys that can enhance the run game, and it was good for most of the year. I mean, I heard Lance and them yesterday on the way home talking about the fact that Texans can't run the ball. That may be true now, and the statistically that proves out to be the case the last three or four games. But the Texans have been six or better for the majority of the year in rushing and rushing yards per game. So they're capable of it. They just haven't been consistent in doing it. But I think if you get an offensive lineman, one that I mentioned a while back, Jonah Williams, at left tackle out of Bama, is a guy that might fall far enough for the Texans now that they're going to be a playoff team. Might be a guy that falls in the draft that they may take a look at. There's nobody that you just, I don't think, that like overwhelms you. But also, as late as they're going to be drafting, I could see them going after some secondary help.
Yeah. Well,
they're thin there. They're getting older.
I think that's a position too. But think about this too. Keep in mind that the trend right now in the first round is going to be, like I had mentioned, about 21 or more defensive players in the first round. Sure. So that could also help them that later in the draft, second, third round, maybe you start looking at another runner. Because you don't know if Foreman's ever going to be the way he was before the Achilles.
Right.
You know, you've looked, their track record in the past has been to try receivers later. So maybe some guys get pushed. But you're right. I mean, if you're going to go four deep on position groups that need to be really concentrated on, I think we're both in agreement. Offensive line is top of the list, and then you go from...
Well, so here's my other argument. So I think that you've got Lamar Miller, who is a serviceable back. And like you said, yeah, you might grab a guy fourth, fifth round or something mm-hmm. like that. Don't forget, too, that they've got two wide receivers that they recently drafted that they really like. The problem is they can't stay healthy, and I get that. But both Fuller and QT are guys that they're really high on. So those are guys that I think if they come back and if they can stay healthy, and that's a big if, you don't necessarily need to add depth, but you don't necessarily need to draft early to that position. Where they're thin at, to me, is the secondary. Kareem Jackson is going to move back to safety. Jonathan Joseph is getting older.
You're going to get
Kevin
Johnson
back
again.
He's garbage. Garbage. Well, Colvin didn't pan out. I thought Colvin was going to be great coming over from Jacksonville. Yep. He's not panned out. So you've got an old-ass Jonathan Joseph that's been playing well above what anybody expected him to play because he's had a hell of a year, Jonathan Joseph has. But he's also going to be another year older, more prone to injury. I could really see them either getting a left tackle in the first round or maybe even getting a cornerback, maybe getting somebody in the secondary that they really like, maybe a safety so you can keep Kareem Jackson at cornerback. Who knows? But to me, those would be the two things I would focus on. Offensive line, left side of that line, and some secondary help.
Okay.
So.
All right. So there's the answer to that text. How about that?
One of them.
Oh.
I was wondering what the hell Chris Householder was texting. He just put... TUSWLC.
I know exactly what it is.
I'm like, what the hell is TUSWLC? Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. Yep. Duh. Maybe. Well, hang tight, Chris. There should be some good news coming soon, I hope.
Yeah.
That's all we can say.
That's right. We'll leave it there for now.
By the way, I know, do we have to get out of here yet? No? Okay. So, one of my Christmas presents.
Okay.
I'm not a big reader. Are you guys, do you read, are you a big book guy?
Online, nope.
Nope.
Not books.
You don't read books?
Not anymore.
What do you read, TMZ? You read the gossip rags?
What are you, Floyd Mayweather? You just don't read?
You have a subscription to Glamour, don't you?
Why am I getting all the heat here?
I don't know, because you're the first one to reply.
That is the rumor out there, by the way.
What?
That Nick reads Glamour? That Floyd Mayweather is illiterate. That he can't read.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all.
I've seen some of the in the past.
50 Cent will not leave that man alone.
I thought he fixed it after that.
No, 50 Cent will not leave that man alone. I don't read a lot, but I do remember a book that came out about the Golden State Killer, and it was called "I'll Be Gone in the Dark." I think is what it's called.
Oh, this was in the news in the last year.
Well, it's. It came back in the news because of the book, but it's by Michelle McNamara. Now she's passed away.
Okay,
but she's the wife of Patton Oswalt.
Yes,
comedian Patton Oswalt.
Yes,
so
that's what I saw.
She wrote the book "I'll Be Gone in the Dark." She basically just was fascinated by the Golden State Killer, a serial killer out in Cali, and she started just online researching it and doing her own stuff, and ended up basically rewriting this book, bringing it back to prominence in the public eye. And if I'm not mistaken, they ended up catching the dude.
Wasn't there some twist in it
DNA too, or something that, like, she found some cufflinks from what I read that helped that were sold, that were taken from one of the crime scenes, because he would take, you know, stuff from each crime scene. Mm-hmm. He would take a memento, and one of them was these cufflinks that had initials on it. She was going through a search, she found the cufflinks for sale at like a resale shop.
But I thought also someone was an extra. Someone appeared in the video of an extra in either a movie or a show, and that led her to some other evidence as well. Because I remember the story in the last year, like you said, when Patton Oswalt's wife was, you know, the book was coming out and all the stories were coming out. And I thought that was one of the stories too, that they had found someone that actually was like in the background of a TV show or a movie, and that ended up helping solve the case.
That I don't know.
I'll try and find it.
I don't know. What I do remember, and so I do remember one thing, because I was listening to him talk about it, or actually I was listening to somebody else talk about the book and how it's just a creepy read. Like it'll freak you out, like it's scary. And then I was like, maybe, you know, we'll see. So I get the book. This was the wrong book to buy to read yourself asleep to. It's a book. It's basically 300 pages about real life where a guy breaks into houses while people are asleep and rapes and murders them. And this is what I'm reading to go to sleep to.
That's solid.
I was like, you know what? Maybe this is going to be like a pooping book. I don't know if I can read this. Like, I was freaked out the whole night. Every little noise. I was like, was that the Golden State Killer? What was that? Oh, that's just Sebastian. Okay. Thank God. Maybe he's not going to kill us. What's crazy about this story, though, about the Golden State Killer, is that, and I'm probably going to butcher this because I haven't got to that point yet, but essentially what happened was they had a town hall about this guy. And they were like, somebody needs to do something. One guy stands up, this one dude, and he's like, this is bull crap. Y'all need to catch this guy. He better not come to my house. You know, if he knows what's good for him, he'll stay away from my house, my neighborhood, my family. Guess who showed up at that dude's house? The Golden State Killer raped that dude's wife. And that was his MO. He would rape these women and make the husbands like watch.
Jeez.
And because that guy stood up, so that basically what everybody was like, oh crap, he was in the town hall meeting. How freaky is that? Man, so listen, but basically the takeaway is if you ever go to a town hall meeting on serial killers, don't say anything. Just sit there and listen. Don't be like, you may not come to my house. And that's how you get murdered. It was crazy, man. So I'm gonna enjoy this book. I just don't know if I can read this book while I'm falling asleep. Because,
well, don't you do audiobooks in the car?
I do, but I requested the. I don't know. I was like, you know, I don't read a lot,
yeah, so
I was
so like, then why I would need, you do that?
I really didn't plan ahead.
Just ask I was for like, the audio I could have got a book on Oklahoma.
Yeah, I could have got a book on comedy, right, and read that to fall asleep, and then listen to the serial killer book. But no, I did it backwards. So now I'm stuck reading a book about the serial killers that kill in the night.
Imagine that. While Nick, I fall he did asleep. It backwards. We've Go never figure. Experienced that. All right. Hey, we're going to continue to move on. Hour number two of the show rolls. If you want to join, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line, or hit us up on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number two. Reminder, Lance Zierlein joins us next segment. Talk a little football and other things. Food scavengering, I'm sure, may come up. As that'll be fun. What's that for?
What, my facial expression? Yes. Because I'm reading the text line, and Chris Householder sends a text that says, that book was written by Patton Oswalt's wife. She died before it got solved. I'll be gone in the dark. All three things covered in the discussion, Chris. But we appreciate you tuning in.
You want to just add that he finished the book for her after she died? Just
actually,
to put a capper
friends,
on
her
it?
Two friends did, yeah.
Joe has been waiting a while, so let's get him in here. He wants to talk about flexing and schedule changes in the NFL. Joe, what's up?
Hey, man, happy holidays. What I'm upset about the most, and let me preface this by saying I'm an Eagles fan, is they go ahead and they flex the Chicago game now from noon to 3 o'clock. And here's where I see the disparity there. You put both Chicago and the Rams understand that they're already in, so it's only for positioning. The Eagles really need to probably win that game on Sunday. If they're all scoreboard watching at 3 o'clock, what good has it really done? Because at least at 12 o'clock, I think Chicago's playing for that position, really, truly playing for that position. If they're scoreboard watching, they see the Rams are up for 10-0, they pull their players. So do the Eagles, because they realize it's going to be all over with. So I'm really concerned about that. I thought it was a bad move. I thought the commissioner should have set that game at 12 and let the other games play themselves out.
Appreciate the call, Joe. Look, I mean, as you look at it, every fan base is going to say that they have an issue with the scheduling, and even the schedulers had issues with the fact that over the last couple of weeks, with the way they were moving games around, that there were 9 early games and only 2 in the afternoon and 1 at night and all those different things. But you look at it, and everybody could have some sort of a beef, right, if you're scoreboard watching. Because, you know, if you're the Steelers, you know you need help. So you would like to see what's going on, you know. And I also disagree with the fact that if you're down 10-0, you're pulling your players. What we've seen recently and almost throughout this season in the NFL is no lead is safe. Look at the Chargers-Chiefs game. Look at some of these games on national. Look at the Steelers in the last couple weeks when they were losing games where they were winning most of the game. You can't just say 10-0 you're going to pull players, but I understand that because of your passion for the Eagles, you'd like to see the schedule sit a certain way. But I think that for the most part, they got it right. They got a game that means something on Sunday night, which was a huge challenge in getting Tennessee and the Colts. Right?
Yeah. I'm confused, though. Like, okay, what's his big beef?
His beef is
that the Eagles are playing at the same time.
The Bears got flexed to the 3:30 game. The 3:15 game.
Okay.
And he thinks that takes away from scoreboard watching with the Eagles. And
well, then what would it be, how fair would it have been if the Bears played at noon, lost, and the Rams go, well, we can pull our players now? I mean, now both teams basically are playing, kicking off at the same time. The Bears and the Rams both have something to play for. And the Vikings, I mean, dude, just take care of business.
And I think from an NFL perspective, you want them going side by side because you want people to want to flip channels and have the suspense of going, how are these things? Hopefully they go down to the wire and everybody's going to be watching everything and then go to the late games. And look, there's two more teams that have to win games. So,
well, so his beef is the fact that if the Bears pull their players, the Vikings win, Eagles are out.
Right.
The problem that I see in that is that the Bears have earned the right to do that, though.
The
Bears have absolutely earned the right to say, you know what, this doesn't matter. It's we're it. So we're gonna rest our players. I don't see why it's like you be better as a team, and then you earn the right to do that. But I think if you're sitting at 11-4 and you decide to rest your players halfway through the final game, that's okay with me. I don't have a problem with that. I know some people are like, well, you should play because you're affecting whether the Vikings or the Eagles. No, I've earned the right to rest my people. Because you know what? I don't care about those teams. What I care about is that my team is healthy and ready to go for the playoffs. So if I decide to rest my players halfway through and it costs the Eagles a playoff, you know, be better next year.
Like, yeah, if you're the Rams, you've earned the right to rest Todd Gurley if you wish.
Absolutely.
Because you got to have him ready for the playoffs. You're absolutely
They're
right.
They're not going to do that, though, because if they lose, then, you know.
Right, but the argument in a case like Cleveland, where there's an outside, right? But the biggest thing is they want, you know, Steeler fans want Baker Mayfield and the Browns to beat Baltimore and give them the division title. So, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, it's a division game, so people are going to be fired up. They want to win. Everybody wants to win, but you also don't want to screw up your drafts, you know, your draft positioning and other things. Everybody's got their own agenda. That's why Eagles fans have an agenda. He has an agenda for how he'd like to see it play out. But from a network perspective, they're not thinking about Eagles fans. They're talking about what game is best for me to get ratings on Sunday night when most of the games don't mean anything. I want the game that could decide a playoff spot and possibly the division.
Well, I do agree with you a lot of times about the whole draft position thing. I don't know if the Browns would be that team.
No, I'm just saying there's lots of variables that factor in.
I feel
in.
Like Baker Mayfield and that whole team has the opportunity to go out and put up a winning record after being as bad as they've been for as long as it's been.
Mm-hmm.
That the fact that they could go out and say, you know what, 8-7-1, that's a winning record. We won more games than we lost.
After losing all of them.
After, right. So, in that regard, I think they want to beat the Ravens. I really do. I think they want to go out there.
And Baker's that
because
kind
of
guy,
Because none of those
too.
Cats care about the rookie that's going to be coming in next year. They're here.
Yeah.
They're now. So, yeah, I think if you're the Steelers fans, you have nothing to worry about. It's going to be hard to root for the Browns. But I feel like the Browns are going to go
but
out there balls out.
If the Browns lose, you can't be mad if you're the Steelers because you controlled your own destiny. You don't, just like you were saying in the other scenarios, don't be mad at the Browns.
Be mad at
yourself because you let games get away.
It, you know what? Don't tie the Browns. And
in the first week one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tie the first game of the year with the Browns and you're okay.
By the way,
you're 9-6.
Who was sitting in this chair?
Yeah, they broke that. That had to have been Cody.
Was Cody here, Nick? This morning, who was sitting here?
It was Cody for my show, but he wasn't the only person that sat there.
Or Jerry Bo after. Someone broke this mic stand. I haven't touched it. I just looked at it and I went,
Snitching ass.
Joel. Because he knows AD is listening and is probably going to walk in here and he doesn't want to take the blame. And
well,
you shouldn't. And
it.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm not getting blamed.
It was totally
for
Barrett.
It.
First of all, it wasn't me. I sit over here. Second of all, I saw Joel do it.
Every time we start the show, doesn't it sound like
now
this, Joel?
Now you're a damn lie.
No.
Yes, he does. You're
doesn't
right.
it sound like yes. that every time yes. we start the show?
Yes. It sounds like that in your ear because I
muted. No, it goes over the air,
no,
too.
No, I muted. It doesn't go over the air. It doesn't go over the air.
And then Barry goes, where's my chair and why aren't my headphones working?
Number two, the last time that this one broke, both of you hoes blamed me for it. So
because you broke it.
Because you did it. We saw you do it.
We saw it break on the air.
We saw you do it.
There's video evidence.
I'm out of here.
You did. We saw you do it.
Both of y'all can kiss
you
my ass.
You were so mad that we didn't want to talk gardening that you started taking it out on the microphone.
There's video proof that I didn't do it.
Right, Nick?
Absolutely.
He didn't want to do. He was pissed that we didn't want to do garden talk.
Yeah, no, we wanted another DirecTV rant.
Yeah, why not?
I'm just saying, that's my lawn talk.
Good
now.
Programming, buddy. All right. Hey, midway point of the show. Coming back, start second half. We're going to have Lance Zierlein join us.
Zierlein.
I'm isolating the hell out of that.
Lance would like a.
And I'm going to play it for Lance.
A beef Zierlein.
Lance
some
tenderloin.
Beef sirloin. He
coming
made
up next, Lance tenderloin.
I was listening. Lance was saying that for Christmas he made beef tenderloin.
Mm.
That sounds pretty good. All right, so Lance will be here. That'll sound pretty good. Start second half. And, of course, you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, don't let me interrupt a good conversation, am I right? The second half of the show is underway on The Usual Suspect. It's Lance Zierlein joining Barry, myself, and Nick on a Thursday here. The man has crawled out of his hole, made his way out of the cave. Have you eaten today?
Yes.
Have you eaten office food that you found somewhere in an open area or on a desk?
Not today.
Speaking of food, how long have you known Joel? How long have you guys known each other?
I've known him since, you're an a-hole. Like, I know exactly what you're doing. So.
About 2000-ish.
About, so you guys have known each other for 18 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you know how to pronounce his name?
Joel is the way. Joel Blank is the way that.
Zerloin.
CD.
How do you pronounce your name? How do you pronounce
Zerloin?
Your name?
Zerloin.
My name?
Yeah. Last name.
I pronounce it Zerloin.
Does it sound like this?
Coming back, start second half. We're going to have Lance Zerloin join us.
Zerloin?
Zerloin, yeah. Zerloin. That's right, Joel.
That's a Carol Dawson methodology.
That is. Zerloin. That's exactly
there is
right.
No O-I-N.
He would say Zerloin.
No, I said because you made, I was thinking the fact that you made beef tenderloin for Christmas.
Well, now if that's the way you, and you know, if it was a meshing.
And we were talking about food, yeah. And you are the king of the office takeout, which means you climb out of your office and take whatever is out in the office.
Wow.
Right?
If it's, I never ever take stuff that's not mine. I never
you want to
do.
Rethink that?
No. If it's offered you mean, or if it's an open.
If somebody,
was
yeah.
Eric
if
it's Sandler's open, day and a half old cinnamon rolls on his desk, were they his or were they?
No, they had already been offered.
So once they're offered, they're fair game.
Yeah. I'd already had one. He goes, here, I'm swimming in this stuff. Take whatever you want. So, yeah.
So you can say no the there first time and go back the second day and
No, I didn't say no the first time.
You passed on him, didn't you?
I passed for a few minutes.
Well, there you go. That's a no.
Yeah, but then I went back and said yes. Once the offer is made, it is now an open. By the way, they stayed there like 5-6 days.
Because you eyed the second one to try and go back for the clean sweep.
Are you not like you would just eat anything that's out there, right? That anybody drops off?
No. I think it needs to be. I mean, it needs to be reasonable.
Lance believes a microwave revives freshness. Like it could be like rock hard. True. He could put it in microwave and he'll eat it.
That's true for
soften it up a little bit.
Like for the cinnamon rolls, that's 100% true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just have this healthy fear that people are gross. And then if I can't see their kitchen, I don't know if they got roaches, if they don't wash their hands after they
you
go boo boo.
You think about that stuff. Yeah.
Like if somebody, I don't need you to bring in cinnamon rolls that you made, but right before you started making them, you pooped and then you didn't wash your hands. I don't need to eat those cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, see, so you don't, do you handle money, cash?
Yeah.
I mean, you know that's like the filthy.
But if you saw how many times a day I wash my hands,
is it a lot? Do you have anything? You got to have some kind of.
I have hand sanitizer in my bag. I have it in my car.
He does. I can verify.
I would imagine.
Like when you go mall walking, you realize one of the other filthiest places you can absolutely touch is the railings on the escalators.
Oh,
at the mall.
Those are gross.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, I don't really think about these things like Barry does.
You don't get freaked out about
no,
this
because
stuff?
If I do, then it'll
it
be
would freak
it's
you.
It's the same way. I don't think about being enclosed in a flying, in a flying
piece
box.
Of metal. Yeah.
Yeah,
can I tell
I
you that I never
it.
Was I like this? I was never like this my whole life until I met my wife. And she became a nurse. And once she became a nurse,
she learned about stuff.
She learned about it. She just scarred me mentally. And now I can't get it out. I can't even, just leaving the restroom, I can't touch the handle. I got to have paper towel.
Well, you know, I mean,
as well just be a big penis on the door there. It's just disgusting. Just disgusting.
I've seen people. No, I've seen people like that. Like, that's not completely unusual. But
that's usually a behavior that isn't learned. Like, it's something that. Your whole life, you've been OCD about germs. This was a learned behavior.
Well, see, I think it is. I think all germophobia has got to be learned, right?
You think so?
Yeah, I think so, because you don't know. Like, you don't know about germs until you're older, and then there is a response to it based on your, based on. I think you can learn. I think you can from home.
Isn't there something
that makes sense?
Isn't there something to be said too for the opposite of germophobes, in that you're building up your immune system so that your body can combat it? Because my wife is a complete germaphobe. Once we've had Taylor, she worries way over the top on everything, and I'm just she's building up her immune system.
Well,
she's gonna be fine.
Yeah, you know that there is a school of thought, and I think it's probably scientific in nature that. You know, all of these peanut allergies and all these crazy allergies that have developed are from a parental base that has become more aware. You know,
I believe that
more fearful of disease and germs and things like that, and that children haven't developed the same immunities because they haven't been exposed to as much. So, I mean. It's too late for Barry, though. I mean, Barry's already – he caught all that stuff in his first 20 years or whatever. He caught everything, so you're good.
Yeah.
You can be a germaphobe now. You'll be fine.
Barry in the Plastic Bubble is a movie coming.
Man.
The plastic bubble movie. I remember watching
John Travolta, right?
Suck. Yeah.
Yeah. They're gonna remake it with Barry.
Yeah.
In the bubble.
That's probably true. I have a football related question. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
What does the draft look like now with Herbert going back and not coming out?
Well, I think it means that Haskins is likely to come out from Ohio State and that he'll be in contention for first quarterback. I mean, it does. People can say whatever they want about Herbert, but he's got good size. He's got a good arm. You know, I think he would have been a top five pick at quarterback based on what I saw just this summer. I mean, he looked like a top five quarterback. I think Drew Locke from Missouri will get some people excited as we move forward. Because he's got physical talent, and there, you know, you always look at who the quarterbacks are going to be to get pushed up, because mm-hmm. quarterbacks always get pushed up, usually get pushed up, I should say. But I don't know now. I haven't really studied Haskins, so I don't really have an opinion on him. I mean, I've got a second round grade on Locke. I've already written him up. Trace McSorley is not a first rounder. I don't think Will Grier is, but we'll have to see. I'll look at him probably tomorrow officially, but I studied him pretty close this summer. So it's, the draft was already going to be heavy and with defensive linemen, but I think what's happening now is one more early first round quarterback is out, and that means there may be another quarterback who benefits with a push, an ill-advised push up the draft board, ill-advised for the team
sure.
pushing them. And then the second thing is, you know, it's going to mean that there's going to be teams that get to draft players with appropriate grades as opposed to reaching for quarterbacks now.
Haskins better send a nice gift Herbert's yeah. way, because he's going to make some cash off of that
deal. I think
deal.
So. Yeah, I think so. He's a big pocket quarterback. He threw the ball well. I haven't studied him, so I can't really give a draft opinion, but I know he's got good size, he's got good arm talent, and he's very productive.
Because I've mentioned the fact that, similar to what you just said too, that this is go time for you on studying tape, but they said maybe 21 of the first round picks are going to be defensive players.
Yeah.
Doesn't that help a team like the Texans that have so many needs on the offensive side of the ball?
Absolutely. It pushes. What it does is there's a better chance that an offensive lineman will get pushed their way, because what's going to happen is I don't know how the – I watched DeAndre Baker from Georgia, and he's probably a late first round type of guy in that neighborhood. He's not the biggest. He's a really – he's good cover corner, but he's like 183 pounds, about 5'11". Greedy Williams is probably going to be top 10 corner, just without studying him, his physical traits. So I think, you know, those are high priority positions. Now tackle is too, but there are three tackles: Jonah Williams, Greg Little, and Cody Ford from Oklahoma. Those are the three that everyone talks about being first round picks. And there's a chance that one of those three could end up getting to the Texans. Jonah Williams won't, because he'll be a tackle or guard, and he'll go pretty early.
So you do think, because earlier in the year, I think he
may need to maneuver up a little bit.
I thought he was mid to late first round pick, about where they're going to be picking, but you don't think he's going to be available for the Texans?
No, because he's so talented. So Ryan Ramczyk, reminds me a little bit of Ryan Ramczyk, who I liked when he was coming out of college, and he ended up being a better pro than a lot of people expected, I thought he was going to be pretty good, and I actually kind of tempered my enthusiasm a little bit based on too much stuff I was listening to instead of just paying attention to what I liked. And when I see, you know, he had some of the quote-unquote limitations that people saw, and yet here he is playing exceptionally well for the New Orleans mm-hmm. Saints. And I just look at, I just take a look at Jonah Williams, and he is super clean technique-wise. And those kind of guys who are really solid, like, he's going to succeed whether it's at tackle or guard. Mm-hmm. He's going to succeed. So my guess is that if you look at him and you say he's a good blocker, period, then he's probably going to go inside the top 12.
Oh, wow.
And then Greg Little's a tackle who, you know, but the Texans will be in position to move up if they need to. That's the main thing, is you don't want to be so far away that you can't maneuver around in a draft without giving up too much. They have 2 second rounders this year, so that's more than enough draft currency to move up and get, I would think, from where they'll draft to move up and get a pretty decent
talent. Is he worth it? Is he worth the move?
Jonah, yeah, but you have to, you know, Brian Gaines big on he's a Parcells guy, so he's big on physical standards. And he may not meet their physical standards at tackle, but if you say, who cares? He's the best lineman in this draft, or he might be, then you then you just draft them and say, look, it's not like the Texans are locked in at guard.
Right.
I mean, just get good players. So I think he might be worth it. But then again, I think if you get a chance to get a natural tackle, which I think Jonah can be, but he's kind of a short arm guy, then you know, then you target a natural tackle if possible. So we'll see. I mean, they need corner help, they need tackle help, but usually you must find a tackle within the first 50 picks. You can find cornerbacks third, fourth, and even fifth that can end up being pretty good players.
Okay, from an overall draft perspective, we talked about Herbert going back. We talked about what it does. But what does it do for Kyler Murray? Because we all know that the A's drafted him in the first round. Everybody says he's going to play baseball. But obviously, this has also thrown his name back out there as, will he end up in someone's camp? Will someone take a first or waste a first, I don't want to say waste, but use a first or second round pick on him in hopes that he may change his mind? And people don't realize he can pay the A's the money back if he really wants to play football, right?
I think from what I understand, he didn't have to give it all back. He can keep some of it.
Just the signing bonus, I thought.
Regardless, a portion of the signing bonus. I don't think he can keep the whole thing. But I think what's going to happen is I'm going to have to write a draft profile on him, which I'm not very happy about, because somebody's going to try to take him and keep his rights for a year and see what happens. Now, where do you do that? I mean, I wouldn't do it till day three.
Right.
He's a 5'9" quarterback.
But I don't you think somebody takes the risk and rolls the dice earlier?
That's tough to say because he is so far below the standards of what you're used to seeing at quarterback. Like, he's smaller, much smaller than Russell Wilson. He's not close to 200 pounds. Russell is compact.
Because Baker, and what about Baker? Because Baker was the guy that everybody said was too small.
But that was a 3-year, you know, he had 3 years of really, really good production and was an excellent passer. I think there are flashes with and Baker had a lot of production against, you know, like postseason production. You got to see a pretty good look at you know he played against a good Georgia team and did well. This is all the conversations we're having. Baker Kyler Murray has done it against a piss poor defensive secondary in the Big 12, and now he gets to step up and face much tougher competition. And I think this is where he could elevate himself is in the postseason. So we'll see. I mean, I'm just not a fan of drafting a 5'9", 190-pound quarterback.
What?
That's just not my favorite thing in the world to do. Not in the first round, probably not in the second round.
Your favorite thing in the world to do is find day-old cinnamon rolls in the office.
My favorite thing is to find brand-new cinnamon rolls.
Well, now that you got to evaluate Kyler Murray, maybe someone will bring you some cinnamon rolls. Just tell him when you're in the office.
No, I've had plenty, but this is the worst time of the year for sweets. Just unbelievable.
Well, it's better than you making stuff in the microwave, stinking the whole joint up.
No, that's sometimes it's junk, too.
What he did, Barry? You said I'm racist. See what he did?
No, Jong and I and Tyler, because Tyler likes to try to sneak into that refrigerator, too. We're the most likely to have some food. Now, I've brought the worst thing.
Yes.
Kimchi, and that didn't even involve any microwave. That just opened. I just opened the container because it was the real deal.
The bowl of fart.
It fermented all over the office.
It is fermented. How about my wife makes a? She hasn't done it for a while. It's atrocious. All the fart vegetables. It's
broccoli,
cauliflower, cabbage,
Brussels sprouts.
Oh,
it's either Brussels sprouts,
some beans. Did she throw some beans in there?
I might as well. They're the worst.
You buy a case
all
of
into that and made into one?
Oh my god, it stinks! Like just walking into the house, you ever just microwave broccoli?
Yeah,
that's terrible. My wife does it for my daughter, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, it's just like a dog. Like if you've ever had an old farting dog,
no
like
idea
a dog just old and just
or an ex-wife, same thing.
Same thing. Yeah, it's just the worst.
All right, we appreciate you spending some time with us. You can ferment back to your office now,
or a husband.
Get back to some more video breakdowns of NFL draft possibilities. That's Lance Zierlein. You can catch him on the bench, or Zierlein. You can catch him on the bench every morning with John Granato. I am rolling today in the morning show. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, Barry Laminack. Nick Shirera. And Joel Blank here with you on The Usual Suspects.
Or struggle busting.
This is a weird scenario. This is a weird scenario.
Serious.
Stop trying to sound fancy.
Man.
Oh, hey, thank you for playing some good music. I mean,
I always play good music.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I meant like that time. Oops, my bad. That's my scenario. Yes, I like it. Look at you.
I just wanted to pick on Joel.
It's fine.
Put some respect on my name.
Any day that ends with a Y, that's what you guys do.
I enjoyed that rip-off Led Zeppelin, though.
That's Greta Van Fleet. Yeah. Was it Greta Van Fleet or Van Susteren?
She was on CNN or something, right?
Van Susteren.
What's the name of the band?
Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah.
Do you know they just named it after some old lady that lived in their town? That's her name, Greta Van Fleet. They were like, okay, that's our band name. That's weird. Like just Mildred Smith.
I've listened to a few songs. It's a pretty good band, though.
They're good. Yeah. They're just a complete... I'd never really listened to Led Zeppelin. So everyone was like, oh, they ripped off Led Zeppelin. I was like, man, these guys are jamming. And then I went and decided to invest the time into listening to some Led Zeppelin. I was like, yeah, they ripped off
his voice sounds identical. Yeah, it's pretty
close. Some of their songs sound identical.
He probably could have gotten away if he hasn't already, you know, being a cover band for
Led Zeppelin. Yeah, they definitely could have been cover bands. I have one other thing, non-sports, to discuss just real quick.
That's a lie.
What?
You'll come up with some more. But
oh, well, I mean, I did have some stories, like how Seth Rogen was tweeting about Home Alone.
Okay.
Or did you see the Kevin Spacey video? First of all,
I saw it.
Well, did you watch House of Cards?
No.
Okay, so you don't get it if you don't watch House of Cards.
But I was told he did it in character.
It's the weirdest thing ever. And we'll get to that, but I just had to... I think I might be in trouble with my Facebook neighborhood people.
Uh-oh.
I think I might have not gone too far, but you know people can't take a joke. So on Christmas, this lady posted on our neighborhood Facebook page and says, I need some help. Someone please save Christmas. Now I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have it in front of me. But she just said, I need some help. Please help me save Christmas. We got my sons these headphones for playing games, and one of the sons can hear and talk, and everyone can hear him. But with the other son, he can hear people, but they can't hear him talking, so he can't play. So the one son, everything is working. The other son, not everything is working. Has anyone had any experience with this? Please help. And then first of all, I'm like, who else is on Facebook on Christmas? Like, why should you be with your family? Why are you on Facebook? Who would be monitoring? Oh, I better hop on Facebook and see if anyone needs any help on Christmas Day. But people started responding like, oh, well, have you, you know, tried to reboot it and play this? So I got on. I was like, maybe just get rid of the second son. Problem solved. Not a fan of that joke.
Yeah, I can see how a neighborhood.
They were not everyone was thrilled with me just telling them to get rid of their
son. Are you
going to
read some of the comments that they said, like respond?
No, it was just a lot of sad faces. You know how you can click like a thumb up, thumb down, ha ha, mad. There was a couple mads and a couple of crying faces. Not thrilled with me. Whatever. I'm just saying that would be a good way to solve it. If you've got one son where everything is working, just kick the second son out. You don't have to, problem solved. You don't have to worry about it. Just saying. So I'm a big hero in my neighborhood.
You do get into a lot of fights on Facebook.
Yeah,
you
can. I mean, there was no fight.
Just like, not
no
just
one,
on Facebook.
But
Twitter.
No one responded. But I just have fun. Like, what's wrong with having a few giggles? What's wrong with having some fun on Facebook?
Well, I mean, at some point it becomes your Twitter handle and then your career.
Yeah. Have a little, lighten up everybody. Have a little fun. A little joy.
Did you get the invite yet to come back and be the entertainment on game night? No?
No. No.
You sure?
Not going to happen.
Okay.
Those people are absolutely nuts. Okay. Not looking forward to that. And they can't afford me. My fee would be way too high now.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm just a professional.
They can't buy you off with fruit bowls and baked snacks?
No.
Not anymore. No. Now, you can make. I think you could turn that into a deal.
If they came and mowed my yard.
You could take the fruit bowl and the baked snacks, bring them here to the office, and I'm sure you could make a deal with Zerline.
I mean, if they would just come and do my yard work, I might. If they were like, all right, every neighbor will pitch in and do a week, in the summer. I might do it for
that. Great way to reduce the population. You probably get about 6 or 7 AARP members to get in your ditch and end up face down. Man. Yeah. All right, hey, we got 2 in the books. We still got 1 hour to go in the big show. That means plenty of time for you guys to get in on the usual suspects, just like the sports mappers are about to do at the top of the hour. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.